When somebody is getting blessed, if you will rejoice with them, then you put yourself in a position to get blessed. I said I've had a really good week. Hallelujah! Amen. I could take the whole service and talk about the things God has done, but I need to keep moving in this direction. Father, we thank you right now for the anointing that has been in our midst. Lord, the anointing as we prayed over those believing for healing, the anointing in worship, the anointing in the offering. Lord, we thank you for the same anointing now instructing us and teaching us divine truths. Lord, we want to move up to higher ground. We don't want to be ignorant. We want to be those who have spiritual knowledge and information so that we can win the battles of life in the name of the Lord, Jesus. And we'll be sure to give Him the glory. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 3, and kind of get you oriented here. We're in our fifth session of our series on healing the brokenhearted. And I wanted to go back and look at a passage that we looked early on, but just kind of reorient us to this subject of healing the brokenhearted. Jesus, one of the things he read from Isaiah, the messianic passage, was he came to heal the brokenhearted. And what is a broken heart? It's a heart that has been wounded, a heart that has been traumatized, perhaps even a sick heart that is full of bitterness, unforgiveness. Jesus came to set us free, not just in the realm of sin, but how many of you know He wants your mind, will, and emotions to be set free as well? Ephesians 3, verse 14. Paul says, "For this cause I bow my knee," verse 14, "unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory." Now I want you to mark this. If you have not marked verse 16, here's what Paul's focusing on in his prayer. "That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might," underline that, "strengthened with might by His Spirit," circle it, "where? In the inner man." Did you know that if you're not well on the inside, it's going to cripple you on the outside? It's very hard for you to believe for miracles if you're full of condemnation. It's very hard for you to rise up and believe God for anything if on the inside you're full of strife, you're at odds with other people, you're with unforgiveness, or you feel worthless. Someone has said something to you to make you feel worthless, and you begin to see yourself the wrong way. Paul, now he's talking to Christians. So this isn't a let's get saved verse. This is a let's get healed on the inside verse. Verse 16, "to be strengthened with might by His Spirit." Everyone say His Spirit. Alright? That's more than you just trying to psych yourself up. That's more than you going to a success seminar and just saying positive affirmations over and over. It's the work of His grace and His Spirit, which will cause His might, His strength to come on the inside. Now watch this. If I get set free on the inside, it won't be too long until that victory spills over on the outside and I can rise up and believe God for the stuff I need to believe God for. Look at verse 17. He really focuses again on the heart or the inside. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith." Now, he's not saying, Ephesians, I want you to get saved. These are saved folks. He's saying that that anointing, Christ, the anointed one, the one who has the anointing, may dwell in that heart realm, the mind, will, and emotions, the subconscious realm, that you would be rooted and grounded in circle. Everybody say love. Now, you know, there's a lot of Christians rooted and grounded in strife. Oh, amen. That's good preaching. There's a lot of Christians rooted and grounded in doctrine. How many of you know they just want to talk doctrine all the time? They will come over, psychoanalyze you, and make sure you got your doctrine right. I'll tell you, I'd rather have somebody that's got their heart right than somebody who's got their head right. I'd rather have my head and my heart right, but if I had a choice, I want somebody that's got their heart right. Amen. Because otherwise, some people turn into a legalist. They're not rooted and grounded in love, grace. Verse 18, "that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ." And he goes on, and we've talked about that. Now, we launched in to studying 10 keys to begin the healing process. If you've been taking notes, follow me. I'm going to read through these rapid fire. If you say, Jason, I wasn't here, talk slow. No, you got to get the tape. That's the way that deal works, all right? 10 keys to begin your healing process. Number one, we said you must admit that you have a wounded place in your heart. You'll never go down the path of healing on the inside if you don't admit you have a wounded place in your heart. Number two, ask God for His healing grace. That's humility versus self-sufficiency. Ask God for His healing grace. Number three, realize that healing the brokenhearted is a process. Everyone say a process. I mean, I wish I could just stand here and tell you it's going to be an instantaneous thing. Some people seem to get an instant deliverance in some fashion. Usually it's a process. But praise God, it has an end. Everybody say it has an end. You know, it's not just sitting in a self-help group talking the problem until Jesus comes. That there may be a place for that initially to help you make some adjustments, but you need to realize as far as God's grace is concerned, it will have an end, and thank God you will be normal again. Number four, forgive everyone involved, even as God has forgiven you through Christ. You'll never get your complete healing without that. Number five, refuse to brood over the hurts. Refuse to brood over the hurts. Forget the past. Forget the past. Paul had to do that. And so often people that have a broken heart, they want to just talk the problem to everybody they contact. Talk the problem. Talk the problem. Talk the problem. You're going to stay in the ditch if you don't finally quit talking the problem and talk the answer. Number six, if necessary, confide in a trusted, qualified counselor. Number seven, communicate with those who hurt you if appropriate. Communicate with those who hurt you if appropriate. You know, quite often you can go back to someone and they'll slam the door on you. How many of you ever had that happen? And that's all you can do. That's all God expects is you to make the effort. In some cases, it may not even be appropriate. You know, it may not even be appropriate. And that's particularly true in some divorce situations. If it's a situation where you really can't get to that person or it wouldn't be very awkward, then you just need to go to someone else, the trusted, qualified counselor. Now, I want to give you 8, 9, and 10 tonight. These are three powerful steps to complete your healing process. And I think, again, without any one of these, you can't get there. Number 8. So write this one down. The 8th key for your healing process is to join yourself to mature, well-adjusted, victorious Christians. Join yourself to mature, well-adjusted, victorious Christians. Go with me to Proverbs 13, one of the favorite verses in the Bible for me. Proverbs 13, verse 20. We said, join yourself to mature, well-adjusted, victorious Christians. Now, I've been giving you the counterpart to these, and I didn't repeat those tonight because that would have taken too long, but across the page, what's the opposite of that? The opposite of that is isolation. Isolating yourself. Proverbs 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be what? Now, you could just apply that right across the board. He that walks with well-adjusted men shall be well-adjusted. He that walks with healed and whole people shall be healed and whole. And again, the tendency, now are you listening? The tendency is the buzzards want to flock together. Amen. The crows want to flock together. The buzzards want to get around and just sit around together and kind of chew over the dead animals together. How do you feel about it? How did he do you wrong? Oh, mine did me the same way. Tell me all about it. I'll tell you about it. Just sitting there over roadkill. You need to, if you're going to find healing somewhere, you have to break off, and this is hard for a lot of people to do, break off with those associates who always want to talk the problem, and you're going to have to go to a church. Everybody say a church. And I'm going to say some things now that may just be for shock effect. And I'm trying to balance it out. I thank God for every group that's trying to help people, all right? That could be Alcoholics Anonymous. That could be a rehab center. That could be this, that, or the other. But I'm telling you, Jesus didn't die to establish a help group. Jesus died to establish the church. Now, we all know that churches are not perfect, and we all know that if you find a perfect one, you better not join it because you just ruined it. Amen. But you better find a church that has well-adjusted, victorious people. Why? That will spill over onto you and help you find a place of well-adjustment victory. That's going to require some humility, isn't it? So if your marriage is struggling, you don't need to hang around other people who are thinking about getting a divorce. Don't shout at me because I'm preaching so good. You're thinking about getting a divorce. You've been talking about it. The worst thing you can do is go find, and I'll take the women, find another lady companion on the telephone that'll just agree with you on everything you say. Men, the worst thing you can do on your job is to hang around a guy who just got a divorce and he's so proud that it went through, you know, without much effort, and now he's down at the bar every night and he just feels set free. That's the worst thing you can do. Why? He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but look at the rest of that verse, verse 20, but the companion, a companion of fools shall be what? Destroyed. Well, what is a fool? A fool is somebody who will not agree with what God's Word says. That is the ultimate fool. That is the ultimate fool. Now, I look back in my life, and I'm not just preaching at you. I'm talking about where I've come from. I look back in my life and come out of that divorce situation where my daddy was an alcoholic and verbal abuse and so forth. You've heard a lot of that testimony. I'm telling you what, one of the keys was for me to be around groups of Christians that were just happy. Everybody say happy.
Happy.
That ought to be in the fruit of the Spirit somewhere. That ought to just be in the list. They're just happy. Instead of being around all these sourpuss Christians that, you know, I mean, it's looked like they're excited. This is the day. Well, inform your face about it if this is the day to, you know, be excited. And so one of the things that helped Jason Peebles was to get around an excited bunch of believers. I remember a guy, and I don't know what's happened to him, a guy named Scott Merritt. He headed up a group called Young Life. Anybody ever heard of the group called Young Life? Kind of a light approach and so forth. But he had Bible study in his apartment every Saturday morning. And so he would open his apartment up to the guys, and he had a female assistant, and she had another apartment, and she would open up her apartment to the ladies. And so I started going there, and I went there. I didn't even know what to do. I didn't even bring a Bible. And that shows you how behind the eight ball I was. I was saved, but I just thought, you know, it was a big deal for me just to go there. And I walked in, everybody had books. And I'm like, I don't got one of those books. They all had the same looking book, too. It was called the Phillips Translation of the Bible. Never even heard of it. And Scott just kept a box of them there. He said, you got a Bible? And I went, no. He reached in and just got threw it at me. He said, that's yours right there. I'm telling you, sitting in the environment of people who were studying the Bible, and they'd go around the group, start praying out loud. And I was sweating, man. I've never prayed out loud in my life. Here they come around to me. And Scott said, if you don't feel like praying, just say pass. So the first time I said, pass. I never prayed out loud in my life. But you know, there's a day that came that I didn't say pass. I just kind of stumbled through a prayer out loud. That was a big day for me. Are you getting anything out of this?
Amen.
Being around folks that were well adjusted, in love with God, victorious, spills over onto you instead of hanging around foolish folks who want to agree with you for your destruction. Amen. Join yourself to mature, well-adjusted, victorious Christians. Now, I wish I could say, listen, I spent over 20 years going into churches literally every Sunday. I'll be very honest with you. Many of those churches, I wouldn't have been there unless I had been the guest. If I moved to that town, I wouldn't go to that church. Why? The pastor wasn't even well-adjusted, much less the rest of the people. There's a lot of insecure pastors in the ministry. Territorial, you know, everything you say to them, they take the wrong way. You know, trying to be holier than thou. You get across a guy that just starts acting holier than thou, I'm just telling you, that is a smokescreen spiritual cover-up for his insecurity. Am I preaching good? Well, don't talk to me because you might disturb the anointing. Well, I'm glad Jesus' anointing wasn't quite that disturbable. Demoniac of Gadara comes out. Wah! Oh, don't shout, Mr. Demon, because you might disturb the anointing. Amen. Got to be taken in limousines to the meetings and all. I mean, you know, I better just stop right there. I'll get myself in trouble. Now, I want you to write four things down beneath this point. Four sub-points. Join yourself to mature, well-adjusted, victorious Christian. Number one, why do you need that? The Word. You need the Word. You need the Word. So why be in that kind of a church? You need the Word. Well, my church doesn't preach the Word. Well, you're not in the right church. Number two, you need the fellowship. You need the fellowship. Well, nobody said hi to me. Did you say hi to anybody? Number three, oh, this will just send a charismatic goosebumps to your body. Number three, serve. You need to serve. No, wait a minute, Pastor. You don't understand. I'm all beat up. I'm the brokenhearted. I need people to serve me. Wrong. Did you know there's healing in service? One of the worst things you can do is take somebody who has a broken heart and just sit them down and let them turn into a vegetable for the next 3 years. They'll never get out of that. You know, and if I can use the natural illustration in hospitals, in the old days, they used to let people just lay in the hospital beds for weeks on end over things that weren't that serious. And you know what they discovered? They discovered that they would start developing pneumonia, congestion in their lungs. They'd get blood clots. All types of things would happen because of inactivity. That's true in the natural. It's also true in the natural with an airplane. Any machinery, you leave a piece of machinery just sitting there long enough, even though it's got all the fluid, I mean, the fluids will become gummy. You crank up that engine the next time, it may just fly apart because it's been sitting so long. You got to put some oil in the cylinders. You got to get that thing tweaked up because you're going to damage it just from inactivity. So one of the keys of getting into a church, if you are a brokenhearted, is find a place to plug in even though you don't feel like it. Why? Back to that verse I read about the offering. It's not just money. Your future is tied up in your seed. So if I go serve in the nursery, if I serve in children's church, if I'm out in the parking lot picking up paper for the pastor because paper's blown across the yard there, if I'm on the worship team, if I'm doing something to help somebody, if I'm just fixing a dish for somebody, you know, who's been in the hospital, I'm getting my eyes off self and helping somebody else. That is a master key to your healing. That is a master key to your healing instead of inactivity. The fourth sub-point I want to give you is accountability. Oh, hallelujah. Accountability. What does accountability mean? It means that you've got somebody that loves you enough to ask you some tough questions. Have you read the Bible this week? Well, no. You listen to any tapes this week? No. I did listen to the radio. What channel? Well, and they're asking you some difficult questions. Guys that have been on business trips, they've told me this. You know, if they've been in the habit in their past of watching the wrong kind of movies and the wrong channels, they need an accountability partner to say, how you doing this week? Have you slipped? Watch any porno? You need somebody like that that can hold you accountable. Now, watch this. Hear me. The accountability factor is not up to them. It's up to you. Because nobody truly can hold you accountable. You have to submit to accountability. Same is true in a marriage. If a husband or a wife wants to deceive their partner, they can do it for a while. That other partner cannot hold them to anything. It must be within their heart. And so that is the importance of honesty and humility. Honesty and humility. Praise God. So one of the keys is join yourself to mature, well-adjusted, victorious Christians. If you're not in the kind of a church that teaches the Bible, if you're not in the kind of church where the pastor and you meet his wife, meeting someone's wife can tell you a lot of things. I'll tell you what, I shine real good in that category. Amen. People, I'm not just saying that. People meet Martha and I look good. I look good because they say, well, you know, the woman reflects the glory of the man. I'm like, hallelujah. I guess I got a little bit somewhere. Amen. You look at their children. You look at children. I mean, if the kids hate their parents and hate church, don't want to worship God, well, then there may be something wrong. I'm not saying that every person who has a child that's in rebellion is in sin, because children can be that way even when the parents are godly. But you take the big picture and you look at that. Look at the leadership. Look at the church. Is this church a place where I can find healing? Or is this church going to be a church that nobody cares about me? The preacher beats me up every Sunday, you know, with negativity and condemnation, and I'm made to feel worthless. I don't have a place of service. All of that factors in to you finding the healing of the Lord. Go with me to Ephesians 4. Are you learning something? Ephesians 4. I tell you, I'm so, and I'm going to just say it, if you think I'm tooting my own horn, I'm just thankful to what God has done. But I thank God for my wife. I thank God for my two children. This church would not be here in existence without my family. That's just the bottom line. You know, they have been with us every step of the way. Are they perfect? Absolutely not. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. Just ask my wife. Don't do it. Amen. That was just theory right there. Ephesians 4, I want to show you a verse that we've read before, but perhaps you've not seen it in light of this healing process. Look at verse 12. Let's start with verse 12, Ephesians 4, verse 12. He talks about the different ministry gifts. He says, for the perfecting, or I prefer the word maturing, for the maturing of the saints. Can I just take a little liberty there, kind of amplify that, paraphrase that, for the healing of the saints. For the founding of the saints, for the root system of the saints, for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up, the healing of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Underline that. That should be your goal right there. You want to become more and more like Jesus. Verse 14, that we be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. I want you to underline the phrase wind of doctrine. I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up. Everybody say grow up. Into Him in all things who is the head, even Christ. Now, verse 16, put a star by it. Because here's where I'm going with this. In the house is what you need. I want everybody to say this out loud. What I need, say it like you mean it. What I need is in the house of the Lord. What I need is in the house of the Lord. Honey, it's not at the bar. It's not at your local self-help group. What you need is in the house of the Lord. Verse 16 says, from whom the whole body, talking about the body of Christ, the church, fitly joined together, compacted by every joint which supplies. Underline that. Everybody needs to be supplying something. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase, healed, whole, strengthened, of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So where does that happen? In the house of the Lord. With the saints of God. That could be in a home environment. It could be in an apartment with a guy like Scott Merritt. But it's in the presence of God's people in the house of God. He says that phrase, I want to go back to that and just hit on that for a moment. He says, every wind of doctrine. Here's the problem. You take a plant, for instance. A plant cannot be healthy if you're constantly pulling it out of the pot every day and sticking it in a new thing. It's got to stay put. The problem with the people many times that need healing is that they run from place to place to place. The wind of doctrine, that means something that blows through. And so here comes a new thing blowing through. Hey, have you been to the meeting where this happens? Have you been to the meeting where that happens? Now, I'm not preaching against going to meetings. You have my blessing to go to any meeting the Lord leads you to. But if someone has a habit in their life of that, and that prohibits them from ever plugging into a local place where the body can begin to meet their needs and these things can begin to happen, they'll not be healthy in the house of the Lord. They've got to be a tree planted by the rivers of water. Such a key for the healing process to take place in a believer's life. Number nine, the ninth principle or key for your healing process. Concentrate on spending time with God. You see, well, that's kind of general, but I'm telling you what, when you're sick, you need to get the medicine. Concentrate on spending time with God, developing your knowledge of His Word and the communion of the Holy Spirit. I want to say it again. During this process, you really, of all times in your life, need to concentrate on spending time with God, developing your knowledge of His Word and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Go with me to Psalm 119. I was looking at this today, and I'm telling you, it just jumped off the page and hit me how this so ties in to healing the brokenhearted. Psalm 119, and let's go to verse 81. This is a rather long psalm, by the way. Why don't you memorize this tomorrow? Amen. Psalm 119, and I'm going to start with verse 81 and go down to about verse 96. Now, I'm going to be reading from the Amplified, but you follow me in your Bible, but sometimes the Amplified brings out some additional points. Psalm 119, verse 81. This is David writing. And I want you to think of this in terms of someone who's hurt and wounded on the inside. Verse 81, my soul languishes and grows faint for your salvation. How many of you ever felt like that, where you're just weary, you're faint? It's like a plant that hasn't had water in a while, it's just drooping. He says, my soul languishes and grows faint for your salvation, but I hope in your, what, word. Underline that. My eyes fail, watching for the fulfillment of your promise. I say, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a bottle, a wineskin blackened and shriveled in the smoke in which it hangs. Yet do I not forget your statutes. You know, we think of a bottle like a glass bottle. In those days, they would have a bottle made of a skin, and it could dry out and get hard and brittle. He says, but I'm looking at your word. Verse 84. How many are the days of your servant which he must endure? When will you judge those who pursue and persecute me? The godless and the arrogant have dug pitfalls for me. Men do not conform to your law. Verse 86. But all your commandments are faithful and sure. The godless pursue and persecute me with falsehood. Help me, O Lord. They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not your precepts. See how he keeps coming back to the word, the statutes, the precepts, the principles of God. Verse 88. According to your steadfast love, give life to me. Then I will keep the testimony of your mouth, hearing, receiving, loving, and obeying it. Verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word. Everybody say your word. Everybody say your word. Now, he didn't say experiences. He didn't say every wind of doctrine. He says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven, stands firm as the heavens. Your faithfulness is from generation to generation. You have established the earth and it stands fast. The whole universe are your servants. Therefore, they continue this day according to your ordinance. Unless your law... Boy, I want you to mark verse 92. Unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Now, I look back at my life, and one of the things that I'll just say it, I feel like I stumbled into. I stumbled into the importance of the Lord. It goes back to that little group in that apartment complex. I did not make the connection consciously that the Word was healing me, that the Word was strengthening me. Remember what we started with, where He says, I pray that you'll be strengthened with all might by the Spirit in the inner man. I didn't know about the inner man. I didn't know about the power of the Word. I just knew that I felt better when I read the Bible. I just knew that I'd come away from those little interaction sessions, and I just felt like the sun was out. It might be raining, but I felt like the sun was out. Verse 92, unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts. How can I? For it is by them you have quickened me, granted me life. Verse 94, I am yours, therefore save me. For I have sought, inquired of, for your precepts and required them as my urgent need. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have seen that everything human has its limits and end, no matter how extensive, noble, and excellent. But your commandment is exceedingly broad and extends without limits into eternity. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Amen. Isn't that good? Well, it's hard to just kind of break off and stop there. All of that is good. But again, if you're going to find complete healing, you're going to have to spend time in the Word and also the communion of the Holy Spirit. What do we mean by the communion of the Holy Spirit? I want you to jot this down. We mean the fellowship. We mean the presence. We mean you can say it a number of ways, the abiding relationship. Just write this down. Talking with God. Talking with God. What does it mean to have fellowship with another person or communion with another person? It means you talk to them. Well, sometimes you may get an answer back, and sometimes you may feel like you're doing all the talking, but you need to just become comfortable talking to the Lord throughout the day. Do you do that? Do you do that when you're driving around or working at the office or wherever you spend your time across campus? Do you just talk to the Lord sometimes? Other than just saying, Lord, help me pass my test. Amen. Oh, Lord, help me, pay this bill. Do you talk to the Lord? Just fellowship with the Lord. Do you take some of those in-between times and pray for your wife? Pray for your husband? Do you pray for your children? I know today when I drop Joanne off, I take her most every morning to the school. And she got out, and we always listened to 104.7, The Fish. And so we were listening to that, going there, and she got a car. Bye, Daddy. Have a good day. I said, I love you, sweetie. And as she walked off, I mean, I just thought how proud I am of Joanna and Ryan. And I said, Lord, I pray for the spouse that Joanna's going to have one day. I said, Lord, send her a good man. I don't want to reject. I want a good man. I said, I want a man that'll treat her like I treat Martha. I want a man that'll pay the bills on time, a man that's humble, a man that's not willing to admit that he's wrong at times. I want a man that'll take care of her. And then I shifted over to Ryan Peebles. I said, Lord, I said, you've got a woman for him. I said, I want you to give him a woman just like Martha. I said, just like Martha, somebody who would compliment him in areas where perhaps he's weak in, and he can compliment her where she's weak. Give him a woman that smiles. Give him a woman that's friendly. Give him a woman that wants to run back to the church door and greet the people on the way out. Give him that kind of a woman, oh God. Hallelujah. Amen. Tim Gant and I, we've kind of kidded around, you know, that boy, God help the guy that ever comes calling on Joanna. Ryan and I will be sitting in there in our camouflage. Cleaning our nails with Rambo's knife. Come on in, boy. Fill out the application. Do you know what Shondai means? Man, if you ever heard of Shondai, he's out of there, you know? Who stole my Honda? My mama tied my bow tie, you know? Pull a Carmen on him, you know? You don't know what that is? You're out the door. Praise God. He better have a good sense of humor, too, or he'll die in my presence. The communion. Concentrate on spending time with God, developing your knowledge of His Word. Write this verse down. We won't turn there. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, if you don't know God wants to bless you, it's pretty tough to get blessed. If you don't know God would like to heal you, then you won't begin to claim your healing. If you don't know that God wants you to admit it when you're wrong, you may not admit it when you're wrong. That deserved an amen right there. You'll see that I'm big on that. If I don't see humility in someone, and if I don't see a spirit of a servant in someone over a period of time, not that you got to see it every time you see them, but if I don't see that in them, I don't think they have a place in the ministry of the Lord, period. All right, number 10. By the way, next week, you do not want to miss our last session. I'm going to be teaching the three master keys for emotional stability. Next session, which is our last session in this series, I'm going to be teaching the three master keys for emotional stability. Because so often the brokenhearted, they're on this roller coaster experience. Some days they feel good, then they just crash. Maybe crash and they're kind of down in this tunnel, down in the valley for days on end, then they'll come up. And God wants to eventually stabilize you with stability. Everybody say stability. All right, number 10, the 10th key for your healing process. Become, and I'm going to give you several phrases here, become a giver / server / seed planter. Become a giver / server / seed planter. And let me ask you to add this. Develop a lifestyle of seed faith giving. Develop a lifestyle of seed faith giving. And I'm not just referring to money. I'm referring to don't walk around all day with your mind on self. You'll find that the brokenhearted, I mean, they want to turn every conversation to them. And you've got to finally get out of yourself. We mentioned this earlier. Let's go to Luke 6:38, which is a verse that really summarizes so much of this principle. Luke 6:38, many of you can quote it. If it's not marked in your Bible, this is a classic verse. I want to encourage you to mark this in your Bible. Become a giver / server / seed planter. At some point, you got to get eyes off self and start being interested in other people. In fact, let me just say this. Now, teens, don't get upset with me, okay? Because I was a teen and I know that process. But typically, teenagers, now some people will never outgrow it, but typically teenagers are focused on their own needs, teenage and younger. They start hitting that college or career age and they get out of what people call the real world and they're forced to realize the world does not revolve around you. Mom and dad maybe try to teach that to them, but sometimes it's good for them to get under another person on a job who won't cut them quite the slack you cut them. Or they say, well, I'm just going to get away from mom and dad. I'm going to go join the military. You will discover it in the military. You just hit the jackpot. You have hit the ringer and joined the Marines. Amen? Looking for a few good men and women in the Marines. They will jerk, sure enough, the slack out of you. You have just jumped out of the frying pan into the fire. All right, Luke 6:38. It says, give, and it shall be what? Now, do you believe that, or are we just in here preaching at one another? Do you believe that? Give what? Well, look above it. He's talking about judgment and condemnation, forgiveness. You know, I mean, people read that for an offering time. It works for anything, but the truth is, you need to be interested in others. You meet somebody that day and they're down. They're feeling condemned. Instead of you just ignoring them, have you thought about saying something kind to them? You say, well, wait a minute. This is a study on healing the brokenhearted. I'm the one that needs healing here. It's a key to your healing. Because give and it shall be what? There it is. Give it unto you. Could I paraphrase that? Help heal somebody else and you'll get some healing come back to you. And it'll come back in multiplied form. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Now, that's a good picture. I like that picture, don't you? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall God give unto you. Is that what your Bible says? I'm sorry, I've missed it. Shall the angels give unto you? Shall the meeting where every wind of doctrine has happened give unto you? Shall, underline this, men give unto your bosom. Well, what does that mean? That means that God will bring the right people across your path that are going to start ministering to you. But the process is not, okay, I'm going to wait until Pastor comes over and asks what my name is. Till then, I'm pouting. Till then, I'm holding back my tithes. Well, just keep them. We don't need your tithes anyway with that kind of attitude. You just shot yourself big time in the foot. In fact, you're missing several toes. Amen. Just keep it. Just invest in something else. You'll get more out of it. Sourpuss. Attitude Christians. Have you thought about this? Who cares if Pastor says hi to me? You know, nobody ever says hi to that lady over there. Nobody ever says hi to the lady over here that's, you know, maybe not the prettiest one in the place. Not the best dress. You know, that guy, he looks a little awkward there. Nobody's ever said hi to him. Nobody hugs him. Instead of trying to politic and get in with the right crowd and all this. We don't want that. We want to go around blessing people. Amen? One of the things that really blessed me, Cliff, was when we went out to Lockheed. He was telling me about how he'd ministered to this guy on his job. He'd ministered to that guy on Lockheed. And I had a chance to talk with that guy. Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's Jesus. That's Jesus ministering through that man. And you know what? No wonder he stays encouraged himself. No wonder when he needs some slack cut for him, he gets it. Amen. Amen. Why? He's blessing somebody else. Well, I'll tell you, every one of us in this room will mess up at times. Every one of us in this room, instead of speaking grace to somebody, we will speak disgrace. And when that time comes, how many of you want mercy? Everybody say mercy. Everybody say mercy. Look at your neighbor, and I want you to say this with all seriousness. I need mercy. Say that to him. Mm-hmm. Some of you are still saying it. Okay, quit saying it. You almost need a whole bunch of mercy. You can settle your problem when you get home. All right, look at verse 38. I'm enjoying this. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. God will bring the right people your way that will give you favor. Just the door at your office will open, or if that one's closed, God will get you a better job. God will lead you to a place that... You need a car. God knows where the car is. He knows how to get a good deal. Somebody say amen on that one. For with the same measure that you give, measure. What does measure mean? What does measure mean? What size are you going to do? You're going to give them a little bit of mercy, but I want to see them squirm for a while. They hurt my feelings. They shouldn't have said that. So I'm going to give them some mercy, but I'm going to dole it out little at the time. Offering plate comes by. You reach in your pocket. Man, I hope there's not a $10 bill on top. There's a one. Hallelujah. There's a one. Thank you, Jesus. I had a one in there. Sick George on him. That guy's been to church morning. Man needs to go to church. George Washington. Just leave George out of the offering. Amen. Let Ben Franklin or Andrew Jackson. Where those guys go? What measure? I thought that was funny. I don't think that's funny. What measure? Amen. For the same measure that you meet, here comes your future. I said, here comes your future. For the same measure you give, shall it be measured to you again. How does this tie into healing the brokenhearted? Well, I'm telling you, if you're hurting really bad, go help somebody feel better, and the Bible promises it'll come back on you in multiplied fashion. Make this footnote again. I think it bears repeating. I mentioned it earlier. In fact, I expounded on it. But I want you to add it here. find a place to serve in the church. Don't wait for somebody to have to call you. Go to a department head that you feel comfortable serving in and say, how can I help? What could I do? What could I do? Now, what's the opposite of this? I've been giving the opposites all the way down through here. The opposite of this is stingy. A person who's stingy, a person who eats their own seed. Now, with these 10 keys, with these 10 keys that we have covered, you can not only begin the healing process, I can tell you these are the key to the total healing process in your life. But you're going to have to work them. It's not automatic. You're going to have to work them. Those who have been hurt, wounded, traumatized, I don't know how to say it any other way, it's not fair, but you're going to have to work harder than other people. But the neat thing is once God heals that broken spot, that bone, more calcium forms around it, and you actually have a stronger area than someone else. And you'll probably end up loving Jesus more than the older brother who's been hanging around all the time. Because those who've been forgiven much, those who've been healed much, those who've been helped much, they love much. People that don't really seem fired up for God, maybe they haven't loved much.
Hello, this is Jason Peebles. I want to thank you for listening to this teaching message. My desire is that our ministry will make a positive difference in your life. I'd like to take a moment to share with you how you can be involved in helping us take God's Word literally around the world. I believe that we're living in one of the most exciting times of history, and it's friends just like you that make it possible for us to impact our generation for Jesus Christ. Now, here's our vision in two parts. First of all, Martha and I have the call of God to teach the positive message of God's Word around the world. We've been doing this since 1979, and we're continuing to do it now through daily radio, conferences, crusades, cassette tapes, and literature. Now, the second part of our ministry concerns missions. You may be less familiar with this part, but our organization serves as the home office for foreign missionaries in about 40 different nations. Now, these are full-time families that work underneath our umbrella organization. Most of these people have been to Bible school, and many have completed language school. Now, they're serving on the foreign mission field through our office, and our missionary agency is continuing to expand. Yet, we realize there are still millions of people around the world who need to be reached for Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to join with us in this vision for reaching around the world with God's Word. The only way that we can accomplish what God has called us to do is through friends just like you. Do you have a desire to be a part of something eternal in your generation and during your lifetime? Do you want to be able to look back and say, I was a part of making an eternal difference in reaching my generation? Well, if this teaching ministry has blessed you, and if you feel that God would have you join with us, I'm asking that you take a few moments and contact our office and let us know. The easiest way that you can do this is simply to call our toll-free number and tell one of our receptionists that you desire to become one of our monthly supporters. What we'll do is simply record your commitment and then contact you by mail. It's that simple. You may choose to support us with a certain amount each month. We ask people to pray for $20 a month. Or you may give more or give less. Whatever you can do will certainly be appreciated and it will help. So please, prayerfully consider calling us today. You can call us toll-free between the hours of 9 to 5 Eastern Time. Now, let me give you that toll-free number so that you can write it down and follow through with this and become a part of our team. Here's that number, the toll-free number, 1-800-832-WORD. That number again, 1-800-832-WORD. Or if you prefer to write and send your check, write to World Outreach Ministries, Post Office Box B, Marietta, Georgia, and our zip is 30061. Now, as I said, tell them that you want to become one of our new monthly supporters. Together, we can make a world of difference with God's Word. This is Jason Peebles reminding you that there is victory for today. God bless you.